Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 48 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, World Series champion with the New York Yankees, Jabba Chamberlain. How are we today?
Good, man. Just we got this bipolar weather here in Nebraska. It's about 70 degrees one day and it's going to be 90 the next. So, you just got to roll with the punches. But yeah, everything's good, man. Staying busy. My son just won the NBC World Series this last
There we
weekend. So,
go.
yeah. So he's home for about a week and then heads back to school. So, yeah, it's never ending over here.
I bet it's the same way up here in Pennsylvania with the weather. It's absolute torture, like everywhere across the country.
No doubt.
So, of course, yeah, you are from Nebraska originally, I believe Lincoln, correct?
Yep.
So, when you got to New York, right, you're going from the middle of the country to, you know, the bustling New York City. How was
Right.
that transition?
It was kind of, I guess the journey of it was kind of, I got drafted, then I got sent to Tampa. So that was a step. And then from Tampa, I got sent to Hawaii. So that was another step. And then came back home. Mind you, my son was just born. So being a new dad and all this stuff. So it was crazy. And then just kind of bouncing all over. I think the longest place I stayed that year was Tampa, because spring training and then A ball was there. And then once I got to New York, it was like, hey, where do you want to live? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never been here. Like, where am I supposed to live? Like, I have no idea. So, but yeah, it was interesting. It's like, we wait in line for 5 minutes and, we're like, yay, like, oh my gosh, hurry up. Now it's like you get there and it's like if you do anything in 5 minutes, you're like, this is the greatest day ever. So yeah, it was different. I lived in Pennsylvania for a little bit
Okay.
when I was in Double A. So yeah, so just that whole East Coast was a little bit different from Middle America throughout the minor leagues and then getting up to the big league. So yeah, it was just weird. Like, usually it's a finger hello here, but there it's they're honking their horns and doing all that stuff. So yeah, it's definitely a little bit of an adjustment, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually cover games for Trenton with Nathan from NR Media, who set this up, by the way. Shout out Nathan. Got to do it. But yeah, so I cover Trenton with them, and that's where you were. Was that in early 07 or late 06?
Yeah, like probably, oh gosh, I was hurt. I blew out my hamstring in spring training and then spent about a month in A ball. So it'd have been probably right around,
May of 07?
no, I think it was closer to like middle of June,
Okay.
because I went to the All-Star game from where we went to. We were Akron, Erie, or Erie, Akron, and then I can't remember where from there, but yeah, so it would have been around, so it was like June, probably middle of June is when I got to Trenton.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Did you like it there? I mean, it's a
Yeah,
nice ballpark.
I had a blast. We had a great team. We ended up winning the Eastern League Championship that year. So even though I was only there a month, I got that was my first ring of a professional. So that was pretty cool. But
There we go.
no, we had a really cool team. Like, I mean, we would shoot bows before the game.
Like bow and arrow?
Yeah. So yeah, that was fun. One of our favorite places was the Kathmandu that was right down the way. That's probably gone now. And we could never park our cars there when we would go on the road just because the prison's right over there. So so yeah, we definitely didn't park our cars there. But no, I loved it. The clubhouse was great. The fans were awesome. I mean, it was packed every game. And it's a fun stadium to play in. The diners are great. First time I ever had a Wawa was there.
Oh my God, my favorite place in the actually, I'm not.
Oh, I like
I
it.
got the Wawa shirt on. I totally
For
forgot until
sure,
you just
for
mentioned it.
sure. Yep. No. Yeah, that was an experience. I was like, man, we don't have this kind of stuff back where I'm from. So, but yeah, no, I loved it. It was great. And I was talking to Nathan the other day, and one of my dad's really good friends works there. He would
Oh,
always.
sweet.
They would always hang out in spring training together and came to spring training, a whole group. I think it was like eight of them. Well, the ones that are alive still. so they had a blast. But yeah, love it. Love it there. I definitely need to get back there at some point.
Yeah, this year's team's pretty cool, actually. Unfortunately, I think he left New York the year before you got there, but Gary Sheffield's kid is on
Yep.
the team. I think he left in 06, if I remember properly. But also, who also used to be on the team in the first half, is CeCe Sabathia's son, Karsten. So my next question is going to be, of course, CeCe was your teammate, just elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. As someone who shared a clubhouse with him for years, what was your reaction to the news, and how would you describe the impact he had on the game?
Oh man, it was awesome. I mean, C is one of those guys that, you'd take a bullet for. He's not only a great teammate, but a great dude. And I got the fortune and pleasure to spend a lot of time with him and get to know him and do a lot of cool stuff. So it was, I mean, obviously very well deserved in what he did in longevity. And, if you just go look back at some of the things that he did, obviously, on the field, but just, certain ways he stuck up for his teammates, that bonus and,
In Tampa.
they threw at Austin, and then he's like, yeah, I don't care about the bonus. Like it's not, and that's who C is. And that's what he's always stood by. And yeah, it was awesome, not only to call him a teammate, but to call him a friend and, just, to see what he did throughout his career and how he adjusted from, a 19-year-old kid to, being, what, 18, 19 years in the big leagues and just being able to adjust on the fly as every year was different as he gotten older. So no, it was awesome. And then see those guys. And I mean, it's crazy to think, I mean, they played 18, 19 years. I played 11 and, it feels like forever, but now you're seeing, I played with, I think like 8 or 9 Hall of Famers now.
There we
And it's
go.
just, yeah, it's
It's a
weird.
lot.
Like, yeah, because you don't think about it really. Like, it's just that they're your teammates. Like I mean, they're part of your family. You spend more time with them than you do your own family. So, just seeing those guys and like the stories and how they approached it. And, it just is really cool to say that you shared a clubhouse and you broke bread with them and, you had outings and, watched UFC fights and all the other stuff, man. It's just, everybody always there's like it's cliche you say you miss the camaraderie, but really like you do. I mean, and you find it other places like golf or whatever, being a coach for your kid and there's always ways to find that. But yeah, that's one thing that you do really miss. You don't miss the grind of it every day, I can promise you that. And maybe some people do. I don't. I mean, I still love, going for my walks and staying active and stuff like that, but I don't miss the grind of 18 games in a row in four
Oh,
different cities.
exactly.
Yeah, so I'll just plant my butt and veg out and binge watch some show and just hang out for sure.
When it comes to that camaraderie, like especially on that 09 World Series team, is there like a crazy locker room moment that you want to share or something like that?
I mean, all the good ones you can't share. Man, you know what? I think as a whole, like, I think what a lot of, because a lot of people just see the 9 innings and the pregame and the postgame, right? And the interviews, and they don't see what goes on in between and before and after. Like they just see what happens to be on the field and what went into that as far as like spring training and stuff like that. But what they don't see is, us in there like mini basketball hoops playing horse or ping pong or, just trying to relax. Like I'll give a great story about CeCe. Like, it's just one of those things, a starting pitcher, you kind of just, you let him be, you don't talk to him, you don't do whatever. And I hadn't got to know C before he came over with us in 09. And so, being teammates is different than, watching him compete and being a fan of him and getting to know him from that side. You don't share a locker with him. And then once he came over, you're kind of like, 'cause he was to my right in the new stadium. And so you're just like, all right, here we go. What, like, I don't know what to do. So you just kind of feel him out, see what happens. 'Cause spring training, you get to know him, but like spring training, it's like, hey, I'm working on a change up or what. It's not a big deal,
It's not
right?
serious.
No, you're just, I mean, you're there to, and I love when people overreact in spring training, like, oh, he's gonna suck. Like, there's legitimately
His
like,
career's over.
oh yeah, it's like, hey, I need to work on a two-seamer. I have to throw it 25 times, right? And it could be terrible, but people are like, oh, he stunk today, like blah blah blah. But once you get to a point where like, hey, this is what I'm working on, you don't really look at the numbers because they don't really matter. You're already on the team, you have a contract, whatever. So, but finally getting to know him, and then we were sitting one day and he goes, hey, and I'm just kind of like, hey, I'm just gonna like, if he starts talking to me, then he's like, you want to go play RBI baseball? And I'm like, sure. And then we're just chopping it up. And he's like, okay, I got to go to my pitcher's meeting. And like, we were just sitting at the house, like, one of your boys come over on a Saturday to play video games. That's literally what it was. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And then AJ Burnett, complete opposite. AJ Burnett had a head in his locker and it had four different faces. And he would turn the face. So you would sneak by his locker and
Wait,
like,
like a physical head?
no, not a
Oh,
physical
I was
head,
gonna
dog.
say, I was
Like,
like,
you
what?
can't have that. No, like, I don't know what you'd call it. It was just like four different faces on like one, like you could turn it. It was like this big, but
I meant like a 3D printed like thing.
oh yeah.
Like
No, it
a
was fake. Like,
physical.
yeah, you could
Oh
see it like smile,
I didn't
pissed.
mean
Like,
like human head. I was
oh, I was like, whoa, bro, this ain't that type of show. I don't want to get you canceled already. You ain't even got to 50 yet. So you would like walk by his locker and just, give a little peek and see what face to know. It's like, hey, leave him alone, or hey, you can
Interesting.
talk to him. So I thought that was pretty cool because it's like, hey, you're giving me a heads up before. But yeah, man, it's just there's just certain quirks, about, guys that people don't get to see. That is a really cool part. And obviously the clubhouse is very sacred to us. And, some people
Yeah, of
take it
course.
more serious than the others. But, those stories you can tell. I remember Boone Logan one time was, we were bored and had nothing to do. He pushed me around in the laundry cart, like, and we were having races, just like, we're still kids. I mean, yeah, we're have a job and we're having fun, but man, like at the end of the day, I get to go play baseball for a
Yeah,
living.
it is a kid's game. I
Like, I'm
mean,
still a
right?
kid. Like, I'm gonna be an idiot. Like, I'm gonna have fun. Like, and so yeah, I mean, it's just that's part of what we do. Like, it's not a 9 to 5. And that was a fun part about that team. And it was interesting, like, coming into it. Like, I was born and bred a Braves fan. I obviously got to watch the Yankees a lot because they were on national television a lot.
Yeah.
But I got to watch the Braves because they were on every day. And so, coming in, and I'm a baseball fan. Before I ever had the opportunity and the privilege to play the game, I'm going to be a fan longer than I'll ever had the opportunity to play. So you knew who these guys were, and it was unbelievably cool to be able to play in the old stadium with everything that had gone on and just the traditions of guys before us and everything, not only from the baseball side, but concerts and, archbishops and the Pope and soccer and all the things that happened with it. So, just to be there, and I sent a tweet out the other day, and being able to literally sit in front and stare at Thurman's locker all the time, and just the history of that old stadium was super, super cool. So yeah, it's odd. And then to break ground on the new stadium, like, it was really, really cool. I mean, it sucked not making the playoffs in 08. That was terrible. So we had something to prove in 09, and then we won the World Series. So
Yeah, and evidently it
I guess it turned
worked.
out all right, didn't it?
I guess so. I have to go back to one of your previous points. You mentioned, like playing ping pong. Who was like the best ping pong player on the team at the time? I have to know the answer to this question.
Oh man, what was we didn't really we didn't play much. Ours in the Yankees, it was more video games.
Or
It
like
was
any game, like a video game, like who was the
oh so
best at
I
something?
could never beat CeCe in RBI baseball. It was awful. Like, I finally I just stopped playing him. I'm like, dude, I'm out. Like, I
Would
can't
you
beat you.
just play the Yankees versus the Yankees, or would you choose
No, we
different
would
teams like
you'd play
random?
yeah we would play random. Like, you would just close your eyes and that's who you get. Like, it was we did whatever. Like, yeah, no, it was fun. Like, we had a blast. Yeah, and it was kind of cards was another big one. Rain delays, that's where you play a lot of cards and do all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's you find ways to entertain yourself. I mean, it's some people like chess is big. I mean, there's a lot of things. You have a lot of downtime, which people don't really. I mean,
Oh yeah.
obviously you're getting treatment, and you're getting yourself ready for the game and what have you. And some people like to take naps. I mean, that's just kind of, your routine. You find what works for you, and that goes. So, yeah, it's just I've played with some really, really good ping pong player. Like, when I went to Detroit, yeah, we had like ping pong tournaments, and like Clayton Kershaw does like a ping pong benefit with like hundreds of
Really?
people. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's super good. Ian Kinsler's another good
That's
one.
what I was gonna say. I was gonna say Kinsler. I swear to
Yeah,
God.
yep. He's really, really good. Romine was good.
Really?
Yeah, Andrew. Funny fact about Andrew and Austin Romine, I was the only person to ever see both of their first big league home runs.
My next question is going to be, of course, we're going back to your teammates. You shared a clubhouse with Alex Rodriguez during some of, the most scrutinized years of his career. From your perspective, as someone who shared a locker room with him, who saw his work ethic, what's your take on his ability for Cooperstown?
Oh man, I mean, obviously you look at the numbers and what they do, they speak for themselves, really. And obviously the things that have transpired over his career, we've seen it play a part in a lot of guys' careers, obviously. And it's no secret, should they be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. Will they ever be? I don't know. It's when the human element is a part of this voting, it's really hard to tell. I mean, when you have guys that Ichiro's not a 100%, Jeter wasn't 100%, like Greg Maddux, guys in that era weren't 100% because there's a human element involved. And you rub one reporter the wrong way that has a vote, he doesn't give two craps about you. Like, you're gonna get in anyways. Like, so what's it matter if I vote for you or not? That the dude that didn't vote for Jeter literally came out and was like, I thought he got in last year and he was gonna get in anyway, so I didn't vote for him. Like, there's the human element into it, you know what I'm saying? Like, and some people may not like Alex, that's their choice. I don't judge anybody or make any false pretenses until I get to know you. Like, you can tell me he's not a nice person or whatever he treated. Yeah, that may be the case for you, but he treated me and my family well. He bought me my first suits ever when I got to the big leagues. And he was great to me. He literally is a student of the game. Like, he would play the game, record it, go home and watch the game, and then come back and talk about it. Like, the dude is crazy. Like, he loves baseball. He's obviously gifted and talented.
Absolutely.
So, but will he get in? I don't know. Does he deserve? And that's the loaded question. Like, does he deserve to get in? I mean, he admitted he did him, right? He was on the list. There was a lot of other guys on the list that are in the Hall of Fame.
Ortiz probably was on it.
Yeah, he
He a
was on
lot of
it.
suspicion for him at the end of his career.
Yeah, and so I mean, it is kind of one of those things where. Was Bonds a Hall of Famer before? Yes. Was
Absolutely.
Roger? Yes. Pete Rose? Yes. Like, and it sucks too if it does change. Like, now, obviously, God rest his soul, but Pete's gone. So he's not obviously gonna be able to enjoy it, in person. Obviously, he'll be able to enjoy it if that ever, that call ever comes. But I just, when the human element comes into it, it's just hard to say if they're going to get that opportunity. Do you really need? I mean, obviously, you don't ever play this game to like be in Hall of Fame, but if your numbers speak for themselves, is it nice to have that plaque for sure and be in that fraternity forever?
And Alex's
Yeah.
sure do.
Yeah, 100%. And there's a lot of others that do too. And there's some that I would beg to differ that they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But like I said, there's the human element of it, and every year it changes, and he may like that guy more, but his numbers may not be as good, but I liked him. He was great. He treated me great. And so, he gets the vote. So it's tough. They'll never change it. We've talked about this on my show with Jabba in the Mouth about have players vote. That 'cause that's
That's a
different,
great idea. I love that
and
idea.
then have the committee, which now there's a committee vote, like then have that be a handful of writers. And so it, I don't, there's no right way. I mean, the history of what the Hall of Fame has been. I mean, I guess the game of baseball has changed in so many ways, like nothing would surprise me at this point. So, but I don't think that'll be touched. I think that'll be a part of it. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know how many years they have left. I'd have to go back and double check because I don't know that off the top of my head. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it comes to a committee vote, or they're just like, hey, nope, you guys aren't getting in because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, it's a hard topic because you truly never know how it's going to go because there is that human element. The numbers can only do you so much. Of course, Bonds was a 30-30 player before people even started bringing up the idea of roids. So it's
Right.
like, he was going to be one inevitably. And steroids can only affect batting average so much. And so,
I mean,
like,
you
when
still
you
got to
can put
hit
the
the
bat to
ball.
ball, when you can put the bat
Yeah.
to ball, I don't know. I think it's such like a complicated topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, putting bat to ball doesn't really mean anything anymore. I think you've only got five people in all of baseball hitting over 300.
It's not crazy to say
So,
that, probably somewhere around there.
yeah. So putting bat to ball don't really, like, nobody cares anymore. So, I mean, it's if you put bat to ball, I better go over the fence because you can hit 250 and 35 and get paid. I
Oh,
mean,
absolutely. $40 mil a year. Here you go.
I mean, it's just crazy. Like, just watching the game last night, and the highest batting average between both starting lineups was 277. I'm just like, game has changed. It has
Yeah.
changed. Not all for the good, but not all for the bad either. I won't say that. And so, but yeah, it's just the game is played different.
You're just not going to see an Ichiro anymore.
And that's on all levels. My son's a sophomore in college, and you see it from that perspective too. So it's not like it's just in the big leagues. It's trickling down, and now we're watching the Little League World Series, and there was two calls of like stealing signs at second and stuff. I'm like, man, we ain't in the big leagues. Like, it's part of the game anyways. Who cares? Like, that's the gamesmanship of baseball. It's been going on for 100 years. Like, okay, you don't, they're stealing signs. Well, change your signs. Like, it ain't that hard.
Exactly.
We're not curing cancer here, people. We're playing baseball. Like, okay, hey, don't one. Okay, you're throwing a fastball. Like, if I can get any advantage, I'm gonna try. I've also played with guys though that don't want to know the signs. Like, even if we have them, they don't want to know.
Really?
Yeah, because then they start thinking too much. Because it's like,
Oh, yeah.
he can throw. Like, I know he's throwing a fastball, but it could be at my face. It could be dotted on the outer third. It could be on the like. So then you're like, where is he throwing it? So I've played with both that some want to know and some don't. They're like, even if you have it, don't tell me. I don't care.
Wow. And when it comes to that like, home run heavy league we have now compared to the batting average heavy league back then. Back then it was about getting guys out for pitchers. Now it's just about throw the ball as hard as you can. And we're seeing like arm injuries start to spike. Do you think like the velocity chase is the primary reason for that?
I think it's probably all the above, to be honest with you. Not only guys chasing velocity, and you obviously, there's still some outliers. I mean, Merrill Kelly's one. I saw him throw the other day, and I don't think he threw a pitch over 93, 94, but knew how to pitch, tugged it, pulled it, did whatever he needed to. So there's still guys like that, but I mean, everybody wants to see 103. Everybody wants to see 102. They want to see strikeouts, and strikeouts are up. Obviously, strikeouts from the pitching side and strikeouts from the hitters.
Yeah, of course.
Who cares if you strike out 200 times now? Like, nobody cares. But I think as far as like the arms go, I think it is. I think there's so much training and so much emphasis on certain things. But I also think you're getting these young kids into the game where they've been doing this since 9, 10 years old, and they're not taking a break. They played one sport their entire life, and that's pitching and baseball, and where they don't take time off. So it overuse, not taking the rest time when you should, and just go be like, I tell my son all the time. It's like he played basketball as well. He played tennis too. But then he quit tennis because he's like, Dad, I'm losing too much weight. And I was like, well, that's all you do is run and tennis. So, but he played basketball and then played baseball, which was great. And I just think it comes with all the training, and obviously there's so much more with like the biometrics, like the labs and putting all that stuff together and what you're doing and how many ways to get stronger, to throw harder, and that's all it's kind of built towards. And if you drink the Kool-Aid, yeah, you do. Some people don't. I'm a long toss Advil and run your butt off kind of guy. That's just me. And you get these kids that are like, oh, all I want to do and is play baseball. We had one kid, and my son's 19 now, but when he was going through travel ball, literally played for 11 months the year. Like, he'd go to Florida, like Texas, like when
Holy
it's snowing
cow.
here, he's going. Yeah, so it's crazy. So I think it's, I wouldn't say misuse per se. I mean, maybe at the younger level, but as they get prolonged in, high school and then college and then professional baseball and the lower levels and then obviously the big leagues. I think it's a little bit of overuse, not misuse, because there's not enough time. And you see guys like Mizorowski from the Brewers. Obviously he took one off the shin, so he went on the DL, but they were going to keep his innings down anyways, which I agree with, but I don't agree with, because if you're going to blow out, you're going to blow out. They tried to do it with a lot of guys and they blew out. They said some people were going to blow out and they didn't really keep track of their innings and they didn't blow out. So you just never know. I mean, this is wherein lies the analytical side of it, where it gets kind of wishy-washy on how you feel about it or what it is. So yeah, I just think the injuries now is everybody's bigger, stronger, and faster, even more so when that phrase first came out. It's like, oh yeah, now you're seeing everybody, throwing 100. And it's like, man, there weren't very many dudes throwing 100 when I came up, and that was, I mean, 20 years ago. Well, less than 20 years ago.
It's not a
So
long time
it ain't
frame,
been
like at
that
all.
long in the retrospect of the game of baseball,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
But now it's just like, oh, this dude throws 102. Sweet. Oh, that guy throws 102. Oh, this dude throws 100. All right. That's sweet. Oh, you only throw 98. Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks. And that's like, a ridiculously fast pitch even 30 years
Yeah,
ago.
right. Yeah, it's not like a chump change.
No,
But at the
exactly.
same time, if you throw 102 and it gets hit over the fence, I don't care. I'll take a dude throwing 91 that gets outs.
Is there
Yeah.
anyone in the major leagues right now that you like watch them play and you're like, wow, this reminds me of myself? Is there anyone that does that for you?
Not really. Like I said, the game's changed. Like when I came in and showed emotion, it was like a bad thing. Now it's like they want the emotion and whatever. So it's like, yeah, this part is cool, because it didn't really happen that much back then. And I always just wore it on my sleeve. Like I was happy. Like one of the greatest moments that I ever had, I had a Frank Thomas poster. I don't know. I think I won it at like a book fair when I was younger, which was weird, because fast forward, then now I had a poster at a book fair for like my nephews and my son. I was like, this is weird. So comes full circle. But so I had a Big Hurt poster above my dresser, and I caught him towards the tail end of his career. So it was, I mean, he was still a Big Hurt, always the Big Hurt to me, but he wasn't hurting much back then. And so we were facing him his opening weekend, and this was at the old stadium, and I punched him out. And it's like a dude you looked at every day when you were younger. Like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm literally in the big leagues. I've been there for like 3 months, including 07, and this was 08. So I'm like, yes, this is a dude I looked up to. And then it came out, hey, that's not the Yankee way, blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna stop being me. And then I'm walking up the stairs. So at the old stadium, you had to walk up the same stairs to get out. And all of a sudden, I feel this arm come around me, and this wasn't no normal arm. It like kind of knocked me forward, and I'm like, and
Oh boy.
I'm not a small individual by any means. But he put his arm around me. I'm like, oh man, what is? And then I look, and it was Frank Thomas. I was like, what? And he just looked at me, and he was like, hey, great job. He goes, keep doing you, kid, and smacked me on the butt and walked out. And I was like, I didn't even say anything. Like I couldn't say
Like
anything.
awestruck.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
What just happened?
yeah. And then he just said it, and then walked off. It wasn't like we had a conversation. Nope. It was just that, and he was gone. I was like, oh, all right.
That
Well,
just happened.
that just happened. I didn't. I tell the story, and I'm like, I didn't say anything. I didn't know what I was gonna say. Hey, I stared at you every day when I was a kid. That's awkward.
Did you ever like see him after that in like a personal sense, or was that like
Yeah,
the one
I
and done?
saw him in Toronto, like his and so he would always. This was before the bargaining agreement that said the visiting team had to have their own workout facility.
Okay.
So we had time slots to go work out in Toronto at the Rogers Centre. It was obviously on the home side, so we just like walked across the hall. But he had like a 40-minute time where it was just him and his trainer, that to get their work done. So we'd had to wait, and I had just pitched like the night before, so I was trying to get in early. And I actually got in. He wasn't done yet, and I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just finishing up." Well, the trainer said he's just finishing up. And then he came over, and so it was like a 2-minute conversation. It wasn't a lot, but yeah, I was like, it was nice to actually like talk to him and not like just like a deer in the headlights when he put his arm around me. So
Exactly.
yeah. So no, yeah, it was cool. And yeah, just a super nice guy. I mean, it was cool for him to say that to me, 'cause I was a nobody at that point. And then, to run into him, and I just said, "Thanks, I appreciate it." And he's like, "Yeah, just keep having fun and doing you." And I was like, "I can do that,
That's
I think.
incredible.
I'll try."
This isn't the only show you've been on. You have your own show. Of course, Jabba in the Mouth. That's a great show. I listen all the time. But what motivated you to get into this, podcasting realm? And what do you enjoy most about staying in sports while not necessarily playing it?
I've dabbled in it. I did some stuff with the MLB Network. I did some live shows with them. Just I've always I still talk to the beat writers from New York still, like, on a regular basis. Like, I guess I respected them just because it was a job they had to do. I know it's not the most fun to ask these questions. I get it. Like, and so it was just I did one with basically just a ride around Nebraska. We covered baseball and stuff too, but it was mostly like Husker stuff and stuff that was kind of around here. And it was just kind of, my son was growing up and I had more time to kind of, spend doing these. And I love baseball, and I've always been fairly active on Twitter and interacting with people. Obviously not as much as I am now. I mean, that's part of the gig now when it really comes down to it. So, but no, and then I had was doing shows left and right, and then did a show with Errol, and we were off air, and he was just like, "Hey, have you?" I was like, "Well, I have one now. It's more local than anything." And he's like, "Well, what do you think? This, that, and another thing." And I was like, "Ah, you know what? Let's see, I guess. I'd love talking sports, and college football is huge here. NFL, I'm fantasy, obviously, like, but NFL for me is not huge. College football is huge for me. And so, there's certain things that I'm better at than others. So it was just kind of a good fit, and it's been going well. I think it's almost a year now. And
Sweet.
then rebranded. I think it's probably 8, 9 months, probably somewhere in there. But yeah, so it was weird. And yeah, it's like I covered the College World Series this year, 'cause it's literally 50 minutes from my house,
Yeah,
and I
exactly, in
grew
Omaha.
up going there and
I got it right up
played.
on my wall from the 2023 one. I got like a pennant.
Yeah, sweet. And so I played there. Obviously grow up, and you go to games and you watch them. And so it was weird being on the other side and being in the press box and having the credential and all that. It was weird because then I was up there and there were dudes that covered me that are still working for like the Omaha World Herald and
Look at that.
other publications. And like, they looked at me and it was weird. They're like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "Well, I'm actually covering it." And then they'd come over and I'd have my computer and like I'd be, tweeting away or writing something and just sitting there. And it's weird because I'm a fan of baseball, so I want to watch it, but you can't like cheer or anything. So it's a little different. But no, it's fun, man. I enjoy it. I love interacting with the fans because it gives me a different perspective when I talk about it, and just I look at things a certain way, and so do other people. It's funny when people get like butthurt or something. I'm like, "Man, we're here just to talk sports. Like, we ain't here to like belittle anybody for their thoughts or their insights. Like, everybody had like it, this should be used for good, not bad. Like, to belittle somebody, like, hey, we can agree to disagree. That's okay. Like, that makes it fun. Like, you can, like, some dude was like plus WRC and a bunch of other stats, and I get it. Like, I'm not stupid. It's not like I'm 80 years old and don't get this stuff." And I just, I was like, is this English or hieroglyphics? I don't know what, like, just like, just trying to make it fun. I get it. And then all of a sudden it's like you get these keyboard guys that are all analytical, which is 100%, that's fine. If that's what you're into, awesome. Like, that's great. Like, you know more about certain analytics than I do. Like, I'll be the first person to admit some of these plus and capital letters, small letters, I don't know. I'll be the first person to admit it. But some of it I do know. But it's, you may go based upon that 100%, and which is completely fine. But just because my opinion is not analytically based doesn't mean it's wrong. And just because
Exactly.
yours is all analytically based doesn't mean you're wrong either. But we can agree to disagree that there's a place for it all in the game of baseball. Like, nobody,
Bingo.
we're not, I mean, I'm getting paid from Twitter. You aren't. But I'm not here to say I'm any better than you because I'm not. Like, you may teach me something that I can use and it makes me look smarter. So I appreciate all the insight that I can get because I can learn just as much as they can from a different perspective. So I love doing it and it's fun. And you know, you get to meet some cool people and the greatest part about it is you get pictures and stuff that you've never seen before. Like, hey, I met you, or this is you signed a jersey for me and wherever, like random places, like a mall or something. Like, I don't know. So it's cool and I love doing it. So it's fun.
Sounds great. We have a few seconds left here, so thank you so much for joining the show, Java. I really appreciate it. Any last we don't even have time for last words.
Oh, you're good. No, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. We'll do it again for sure.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for listening to episode number 48 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins. See you guys later.